With the psalmist, we declare, your word is a lamp to our feet. Your promises fulfilled in Christ are our delight. Open our eyes, Lord, that today we may behold wondrous things from your word. Please be seated. Good to start on a high note this morning. Welcome to church. We're going to sing together now our first hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Well, friends, I do want to say welcome this morning. Thanks for joining us in person here at Scots Church in the heart of Melbourne. And as usual, welcome too if you're joining us on our live stream, as each week around 150 people do. We're glad to have you with us online. If you're new to Scots, please use the introduction card to say hi. Fill it in, leave it at the foyer desk, or scan the QR code with your phone and leave us your contact details online. We would love to make you welcome and keep you informed and in touch with what's happening here at Scots. And if you are with us online, why not drop us an email and say hi? I'm required to make the formal announcement that all communicants and adherents of the Scots Church are invited to attend the annual business meeting to be held here in the church immediately following the service next Sunday morning, 27th of October. The annual reports will be emailed if you haven't had one already. Print versions are available if you prefer, if you contact the office. On to something slightly more fun. This is your invitation to to our 150th anniversary celebration event on Thursday evening, November 7th, in the foyer of the Westpac building, commencing at 7 p.m. Parking will be available in the Westpac car park, but you do need to RSVP. Call the office, you'll find the phone number in the order of service, or drop an email to Wendy as soon as possible. Numbers are limited. It's a catered event, it's free of charge, but you do need to RSVP. It's been in the email newsletter the last couple of weeks, and quite a few people have responded already. So if you'd like to come, and we'd love to have 150 people there, please move fast and let us know. It's going to be a great night with a string quartet, a couple of very short speeches, and the switch on of our new coloured floodlights on Collins Street. So an enjoyable, fun night to celebrate. If you're wondering, Justin's not with us this morning. He's conducting a baptism at our branch church at St Stephen's. And while we're talking about people, baby Sebastian is with us with his mum and dad, James and Lisa, for the first time, and his grandparents this morning. So a very big welcome to him, and you might hear from him a little later. Who knows? We're going to join in a hymn together again now. To the high, to the hills, we'll lift mine eyes. Let's join in prayer. Lord God, who heaven and earth has made, we acknowledge that all our days come from you, that day by day you keep our feet from sliding, that you, never sleeping, constantly give attention to the prayers of your people, and that in your stunning grace, you have taken flesh in our world of flesh, that you have taken on substance in our material world in the person of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that in him you have called together your church, that you grow us together, that you gift us to serve as we build one another up in love. Father, help us, we pray, as we gather, to look for every opportunity to do that today, that our words would be words of encouragement, that our acts would be acts of service, that our hearts would be turned in love to our Lord Jesus and love to one another. Help us to walk in a manner worthy of our gospel calling, with all humility and gentleness. Grant us the patience to bear with one another in love, ever eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Father, forgive us afresh, we pray, every time that we fail, as you grant us the grace to forgive one another. And these things we pray together as we join in the words taught to us by our Lord Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Choir. During the next hymn, our children will leave. If there are any with us today, just meet up with our teachers up the back, and the offering will be collected. But if you're visiting with us today, please don't feel obliged to contribute. Just smile and pass the plate by, be our guest. Let's join in song.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come together with joyful hearts to worship and give thanks for your incredible revelation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the joy, unity, and hope you have given us. And thank you for the unity you provide for us, one body, one spirit, one hope that belongs to our calling, one Lord, one faith in one baptism, and one God, the Father of us all. Loving God, guide us that may we be united in one hope of our calling to work together to build up your kingdom on earth. May your church be a place where people can find strength in one another through hope, faith, prayer, and fellowship. We pray that you would bless and strengthen and protect your church worldwide, including here at Scots Church, Scots City, and our constituents at St. Stephen's Flemington, the International Christian Church. Father, as we celebrate the 150th anniversary of the Scots Church building in November, Lord of the Church, we praise and give you thanks for your great love, mercies, and faithfulness. You have been faithful and patient with us throughout our joys and challenges. Thank you. We pray for our ministers, elders, church leaders, and congregations, that each member of faith community may work together in unity, prayer, and allegiance to Jesus to overcome evil and promote true love among all people. Lord, as we listen to and reflect on your word today, please open our hearts and minds. Bless Reverend the Keever with your presence, wisdom, and clarity as he shares your word with us this morning and again at Scott City at 5 p.m. service. We also pray for Scott City, where Arthur is deeply involved in ministry alongside his wife, M.M., Johnson Wang, Jacob Davy, and others. As your word is shared, fill us with the Holy Spirit to do your good work on us, and may we be seeds of hope, drawing others closer to Jesus. Loving God, we lift up King Charles III and Queen Camilla as they visit our country, and may their royal engagements be filled with success and joy. We ask for your divine healing to surround His Majesty King Charles III and Catherine, the Princess of Wales, that you would bless William, Prince of Wales, and the entire royal family with your comforting presence and peace. And we pray for our nation and its leaders. Please safeguard our country from divisions that threatened our ability to lead lives pleasing to you. May your wisdom guide our leaders in making choices that promote unity, compassion, and fairness. Loving God, we lift up in prayer those who are unwell in our church community, especially our dear friend Graham Shaw, who is currently in the hospital, as well as Margaret Conradi and others. May they find strength and peace and be blessed with a swift recovery. Lord, we seek blessings for individuals dealing with illness, mental health challenges, feelings of isolation, homelessness, or unemployment, as well as those grieving the loss of their loved ones. May their faith in Jesus strengthen as they recognize Christ's presence, love, and faithfulness. We pray for Wen Truong's funeral next Wednesday, that you would strengthen Anne and close relatives with your comfort and peace. Oh Lord, may your presence at the funeral service provide comfort and support to everyone attending, and especially for Anne and the family, and may it honor Wayne's memory beautifully. Loving God, we praise you for Sonal Halaka and his family's achievement of permanent residency here in Australia. Lord God, that you would shower them with abundant blessings as they begin their journey, and may their dedication at Scots bring joy and fulfillment as they contribute to the community. And now, loving God, thank you for our many blessings. Bless our tithes and offerings, we pray, and bless those who have given generously, whether through their time, energy, finances, talents, or dedicated service. that you would guide those who administer church funds. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.
Morning's first Bible reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. You can follow along in your order of service. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing, and with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, and from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen.
Majesty.
Morning's second Bible reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, continuing verses 17 to 32. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice, and every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is to corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it might give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Amen, and thanks be to God.
And welcome or welcome back. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your church and for your great work that makes it what it is. Give us grace to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give pastors a hard time this morning, at least first. I should say, I'm going to give pastors on YouTube a difficult time. It's something they say. It's easy to say. It just kind of slips into conversation. It seems like the natural way to put things. But I'm afraid it's incorrect. Here it is. I grew that church from 20 to 200 people. Or Pastor Phil got our congregation back to pre-COVID numbers. Reverend Arthur rejuvenated our dying congregation. YouTube goes crazy with this stuff. Five steps to growing your church. How to get from 1 to 1,000. Those are some videos you'll find. Who grows the church? It's a simple question. Who makes the church grow? Pastor got our numbers up. We rejuvenated that congregation. It's not just YouTube pastors. Lots of us can fall into that way of talking, even if we don't say it. And you can point to all kinds of things to support it too: vision statements, strategies, experience, skills. Easy to say, and yet easily wrong. I wonder if you spotted the repeated word in today's reading. If you're following along in the order of service, I put it in bold, so you sure did notice it. Three times a certain phrase shows up. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, growing into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part's working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. building up. The church is a building. Church is also a body, growing toward maturity. This passage in Ephesians is all about church growth. And its first question is, who grows that church? And I've just said, it's not me, it's not you. The first source of church growth is God himself and his grace. Have a look at verse 4. There's one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And then he goes on, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Everyone who's a part of this church has encountered the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And Paul's saying they've walked away a changed person. That's what it means to be a Christian, and that's the mark of a real church. That's why back in chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul said, here's your former life, and this is your new life, thanks to God's unmerited mercy. For we are his workmanship, created or recreated in Christ Jesus. It's those people, he says, who now have access to God through Christ by the Holy Spirit, who are called citizens of God's kingdom and members of God's household. It's a citizenship granted by God. It's not a citizenship test where you score at least 75% and you're accepted. It's growing, it's citizenship, it's membership by God himself. The church belongs to him, thankfully, and with his gift of grace, he grows it. Now, that's the first way he grows his church, but there's a second way. And he grows his church through his leaders. Have a look at verse 11. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I thought I just said pastors don't grow the church. That's right, we don't. But leaders are often God's chosen means for building up his church. God does the growing, and he does it through his church leaders. Now, there are some people, perhaps many people here this morning, who will call themselves Christians. And when you think back through your story, maybe a moment of conversion, that will involve other people, right? You can tell a story about how you heard a preacher and believed. You grew in your faith thanks to the help of some kind and generous Christian friend. So who grows the church? Well, God does, and yet he does so through his people. He decides to convert people through someone's preaching. He starts the first Christian church in Russia through a few missionaries. He rejuvenates an old church through the faithful efforts of a humble pastor. God grows his church through grace in Jesus Christ, and he does so through the people he's given to it. So can we say, I grew that church from 20 to 200? No, but we can say, God grew that church from 20 to 200 people, and in his kindness, let me take part. God's the source of church growth. But if he's the source, then where are we headed? Where are we going? How do we know if a church is truly growing? What do we look to for a measure of church growth? Well, everyone's on about data these days. And not just big data or AI, but I just mean information that leads to success. Organizations want to grow, so they collect all their customer information. We wear smartwatches, tell us all kinds of stuff about ourselves. Got to get my steps, my exercise, my heart health, sleep patterns. A good friend of mine wanted to get fit, so he bought a smartwatch. He said, good, this thing will do all the exercise for me. Churches are up on this too, using data to grow. One website advertises this way: church metrics give you clarity on a variety of decisions, such as budgeting, staffing, and program planning. By utilizing data to inform your decisions, you can make more strategic choices that will ultimately lead to growth and success for your church. You might track attendance, you might track new members, salvations, baptisms, small group involvement, volunteer participation, giving. That's a peek behind the curtain of a pastor's life. It's not much there, not much there, not much of interest at least. And every pastor wants that stuff going up. Higher attendance, more members. Yes, bigger baptisms and Bible studies, giving on the up. And of course, churches should want that. Christ commanded all Christians, all of them, not just pastors, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Paul says this, he counts his life as nothing so long as he can fulfill his calling to spread the gospel of the grace of God. Early church missionaries in the book of Acts believed that God had made them a light for the Gentiles, that they might bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So I hope numbers are going up. I think it's safe to say that God wants numbers going up, that he wants measurable church improvement. If that's the case, then what's the problem here? I think the problem is that the metrics aren't necessarily Jesus Christ. Have a look at verses 11 to 13. He gave the leaders, I mentioned those before, the leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. This is verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We measure ourselves as the church by the measure of Christ. More people, sure, but more people who look and speak and act and treat others like Jesus. More people who are growing in love for Jesus, understand that he is the true source and standard of their Christian maturity. Mature manhood here in verse 13 means the complete man. To be a grown-up person that looks like the Son of God. That's true maturity. I wonder if you see anything in there about a new church building, sound systems, live stream quality, TV sizes. Maybe I missed it, but I know I didn't. It's not there. Now, hear this. That's important stuff. Again, that can be the way in which God grows his church and a reflection of Christ-like, healthy growth. But it's not the measuring stick. The measuring stick is Jesus Christ. The church is headed towards something that looks like him. The second part of our passage details a bit more about what this looks like. Starting in verse 17, Paul describes people who don't know God. He says they're alienated from a life with him. I think what he means here is they're in some way spiritually shut down to God. And he uses a lot of words to describe that: callous, greedy, or impure, living for me and my desires. His point is here really is not to accuse other people, but to say the church shouldn't be like that. Let me say, first of all, that if you've seen that stuff in churches and you don't like it, that's a good thing. You shouldn't like it. You're right to think it's not right. In fact, the Bible agrees with you. This is what Paul says in verse 20. That's not the way you learned Christ. That callousness, that unchecked greed, self-centered living, it's not supposed to be in the church. Let's read on. Assuming that you heard about him, that is Jesus, and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Learning Christ, created after the likeness of God. Putting on the new person. This is all a way of saying that Jesus Christ is the standard for church growth. That we grow because of Christ in his image. We do it individually, and we do it together. Jesus is the source and the standard of church growth. God himself grows the church. He sets the bar as to what success looks like. Grown up, like Jesus. That's the pattern. But if God grows his church, he doesn't just make each of you mature as individuals. It's a collective growth. So the church grows. That's the first point. God grows his church. And the church grows, second point, together. Now, I grew up in a world with a certain question, and I still hear it. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? You've heard that? It's not about religion, not about the church as an organization, not just about Bible knowledge, but about a personal relationship with Jesus. There's a lot of good in that. It's important to realize that showing up on a Sunday, going through the motions, being on a membership roll, even tithing your money, it's all good stuff, but it doesn't necessarily make you a Christian in the way Paul's talking about being a Christian. A personal relationship between you and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, sin confessed and forgiven, heart renewed, put into a spiritual union. If that hasn't happened, he's saying there's no Christian and no Christianity. So there is a personal relationship, but it's not just that. Being united to Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship doesn't mean it's me and Jesus for the rest of your Christian life. God envisions church growth as the growth of a whole body. So me and Jesus is like a head with an arm or a head and a kneecap. It's not a body. The church grows as one, it grows together. That's how growth happens. And that's what Paul's on about in verse 15. He said, look for maturity in a grown-up Jesus body. Don't be spiritual kids, he says. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together, when every joint is working and the way it's equipped, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I washed dishes in a restaurant during university. My friend had done it, and he was leaving, and he said, take my job. So I did, and I thought, I'm just the dishwasher, just humbly making some extra cash. There were two or three serious cooks in the kitchen. There was a wait staff who had worked there for ages. There was an amazing bartender, and there was me scrubbing down pots and pans. But you know what I got there? I got taken seriously. Now, for a few weeks, I was still the new guy, and you can't do anything about that. But I got free drinks like everyone else. They'd make me whatever meal I wanted. We'd crack jokes, and at the end of the night, I got my fair share of tips, just like everybody else. Chef got his cut, line cook got his, and I got mine. Equal, fair, and square. If a ragtag team like that can look after a little dishwasher like me, can understand and appreciate that putting soap and hot water on a bunch of plates is worthy of value and equal treatment, then why is there, of all places, so much self-interest in the church, in these buildings? And I'll be first in line to say I've got self-interest. My vision, my needs, my feelings, my values, my strategies, my preferences. What if we were that concerned with how other people in the church were being loved and cared for? Sometimes we are. Sometimes we are, and I praise God because it's amazing. It's a couple, a Christian couple, were telling me about their inheritance recently. They basically inherited a house. And honestly, they said they don't want it. They're very happy as they are, and the house just feels like an extra worry. So I said, easy, you just give it to me. No, I didn't say that. They said, if we're going to have this house, we're going to use it for other people. We want people living there on low rent, and they do already. If anyone from the church wants to have people over for food or for events or for whatever, they said, let's do it. Our possession of this house is to serve others. That's how they see it. As far as I can tell, that's a church-centered, other-centered way of living. At the end of Ephesians 4, Paul puts others at the front of our church growth. Having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. It's my last thing this morning. You know, the you at the end, as God in Christ forgave you, the you there is you all. It's plural. It means God forgave all of you, church, so get on with treating yourselves with that kind of graciousness. There are two takeaways here, really. Paul emphasizes speaking the truth. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. And he emphasizes kindness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Just take that away with you this week. The power of honest communication and general kindness toward your brothers and sisters. God will grow up a healthy body with that kind of behavior. Now, if you're on the fringes of church this morning, maybe you're just checking it out. Maybe it's new. Maybe you've been eyeing it up for some time. First of all, good. I think that's great. And you're super welcome here. Second, I hope you see this morning just a little bit more clearly what this place is all about. It's a place that's created and developed by God himself, takes Jesus Christ as its inspiration and standard. That's at least what we're striving for around here. I hope you also see it's a place that's self-critical. You know, I appreciate it and I feel it when people criticize the church because of hypocrisy or abuse or bad behavior. But an atheist friend said something once that stunned me. He said, you know, the Christian church is one of the few self-critical institutions. It's one of the few places that holds itself accountable to a higher standard than individual desires or aims. It's been self-critical throughout its entire history. He means it's a place where people say, no, we can't believe that here, or I can't behave like that if I'm actually signed up for this. We need to do better, and by God's grace, we can do better. My friend's right. If you have signed up, if you signed up for it, then know this. We're in it together. We have a God who's bound himself to us, who's loved us so much that he talks about himself as a part of us, as an actual body. Christ is the head of the body. That's odd. That's weird. It's wonderful. Gods and religions don't do that normally. But God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit does. He does do that. He's bought his church. He grows it, and we grow together. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for great and wonderful growth. I pray that we might speak the truth in love, that we might be kind because you have been kind to us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's sing our final hymn, Glory to You, O God. Do join us in the Westpac building for some refreshments, and thank you for joining us this morning. Receive the blessing of our Lord. Now, to him who is able to do far more than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.